do you think you are? How many of you ever heard that phrase? And it's not really a question, is it? No, that's like a statement to put you back in your place, right? When you were younger, hopefully you don't get that when you're old, adult years. But who do you think you are? Yeah, that was not a question. That, again, was trying to get me back in my place. Now, what if we changed the tone, same words? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Isn't it interesting to have that different tonage, same words? It feels different. It has a different connotation. It actually is a question that begs to have an answer. That is what we're looking at today. Today's talk title is, Who Are You Really? Right? We have a lot of ideas about who we are, and we have been informed about who we are, who we think we might be. You know, I'm a minister. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. I'm a musician. I'm a singer. I'm an artist. I'm a teacher. I'm a counselor. I'm a plumber, an electrician, a builder. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm a sibling, a friend, a lover, a sinner, a saint, right? And that song, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. How many of you perhaps were familiar or engaged in a religion that said, you are a sinner and you must confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to have eternal life? Some of you have had that. Mm-hmm. How many of you grew up with the, you're a divine being, and so is everybody else? I did not hear that. A couple of you have had that pleasure. Most of us, not so much. We have to reprogram the programs that are running us, because truly, how we think of ourselves makes the huge difference in our beingness. So, this month, we are studying which of the 12 powers. I know we just started last week, so power of power. So the powers are actually what co-founder Charles Fillmore discovered as he took the Bible and he studied it from that metaphysical point of view. And he realized there was symbolism in every character, place, and story that we have inside of ourselves, and to find that relation to that. So when he studied the 12 disciples, he realized they all have different personalities and they also had different traits and what he called spiritual abilities or powers. So we're studying what those are because we all have those powers or spiritual abilities, and mostly I didn't know what they were until I joined Unity, and I'm still developing my understanding of them because we engage in these powers. Sometimes very unconsciously, and sometimes not very productively. So the idea is that I'm teaching these powers, so we can employ them and engage them in a way that works for us. Is that good for you? Okay, great. So the power of power. So the definition of power in this realm, I did talk about, you know, when we think power, it could be power hungry for those that like to control, or the underdeveloped power, which is, I can't make a decision or do anything. I'm kind of feeling like a victim. So those are the extremes on the power mode. But when we go to the spiritual power, the power, and this is from Power Up Your Life. I recommend it. It's a good book on the study of these 12 powers. Power is the power, I know it's redundant, to claim mastery and self-mastery, to command authority of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs, and number three, to express our prerogatives and our preferences. So it's the color purple, and it's also the location of the body. It's very interesting. It's the throat, the voice box, the back of the tongue, because there is power in our word. Now, another book that I highly recommend that I am using for these studies is The Divine Audacity by Reverend Linda Martella-Witsette. And she breaks down each of the powers into three components. And she talks about power as concentration, self-mastery, and spiritual authority. So which of those did we talk about last week? Okay, the quiz is on. Did you know you're in school when you come to church? I am. Some of you take notes. Okay, which one of those three did we study last week? Well, it was power, but which component? Self-mastery, spiritual authority, or concentration? Okay, then. I know it's been a week. It's 7 days. I mean, I had to look at my notes. What did I talk about a week ago? So good thing you're not getting graded, right? No grading. So the one we covered last week was self-mastery. So a quick review, just like you're in school, right? But it's important because it leads us into the next one. Self-mastery. What exactly is self-mastery? It is our capacity to... Very good. Okay, she's... We have, whatever you call those folks, teachers, pets, people are like, I'm going to impress the teacher, right? So it's to guide our thoughts, words, and actions in integrity with our divine self instead of, and Alex just said, instead of reacting from our only human, and I'm going to add, fear-based conditioning, impulses, and reactions. So to self-mastery, doesn't let my mind run me. Anybody ever have like your mind you want to just stop or that type of thing? So we had an exercise to practice last week. How many of you remember that exercise? It's like, I know you didn't go to the mental, emotional, spiritual gym. Okay, not grading anybody. So I'm going to review. So A, it's the word was ACT. ACT. It's an acronym. I have to do acronyms because it reminds me and helps me remember. So the first thing in self-mastery is we need to awareness. What is it that I'm thinking? What is it I'm saying? Because I can't change something or make that change on my thoughts or my thoughts are actually what lead everything. If I'm not aware of my thoughts, I can't decide if they're supportive or not supportive. And so we have a tool that when we're looking at and being aware of your thoughts is primary. It's the first thing. And I did teach a little tool last week too, is when you notice what you're thinking or feeling, you get to say, isn't that? Yes. Okay, you did get that one, check. Isn't that was the neutral observer speaking. So we have the A, awareness. Then there's the C. What does the C stand for in self-mastery? Choice. Yeah, there was the four C's, but the main one was choice. If I have a thought that I realize is not the most supportive, productive, and perhaps it's not the truth, and that's a whole different subject, but it's not the highest level of my being, I get to choose a different thought, a life-empowering, affirmative thought. So choice. And then the T in ACT, when is this going to happen?
Today.
Excellent. So to be aware of my thoughts, to make choices about what I'm thinking and make a new choice if need be, and to do it today, because doing it tomorrow does not help. So why is it important to have self-mastery? Well, because I talked about TFAR. And that's another acronym, or somewhat of an acronym, that what is the first thing that becomes our sequence of creation? Our thoughts lead to feelings, lead to actions, lead to results. Our thoughts are first. Every feeling you have has a thought behind it. That's a teaching by Byron Katie, to look at the thought behind the feeling. If I change my thought about something, I can change my feeling. And usually we act from our feeling level more than we do from our thinking, which is actually creating our feelings. So Emerson said, I love this quote, "The ancestor to every action is thought." The ancestor to every action is thought. And an ancestor, so what comes first? Your actions are coming from somewhere. They're not just random, although they might seem to be. There is a thought. And Henry Ford says, thinking is the hardest work there is. That's why so few engage in it, right? The thing is that every thought that we have either honors truth or supports illusion. Have you ever heard this statement, that's why we write things down. Thoughts held in mind produce thoughts after their own kind, okay? So when I have, here's the thing. Every time I have a thought, what's the thought that comes after it? There's an acronym called ANTS. I don't know what it is? Okay, I'll tell you afterwards. Now, automatic negative thoughts. You ever have a negative thought? And then guess what? And there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another. Automatic negative thoughts. One thought leads to the next. So, ANTS, automatic negative thoughts. And I thought, well, okay, I have a choice. What if I change the N, automatic nurturing thoughts? Okay? Automatic nurturing thoughts instead of negative thoughts. However, I'm not really fond of ants, right? They can be in an ant form, that's fine, or outside. But I thought, well, what if I turn my ants into plants, right? Just to kind of change it up. So plants is to practice loving, automatic, nurturing thoughts. Yes, I'm still working on my brain here on this one. So it's to practice loving, automatic, nurturing thoughts. I'm going to have plants instead of ants. That's just my preference. You can have all the ants you want, but I'm going to choose to have plants and plant those thoughts so that I can create more of an uplifting experience. So as we utilize our practice of self-mastery, again, to command or put dominion over our thoughts, because again, we have to be doing our act on that. That leads us to the next practice, the next part of power, which is called spiritual authority. Let's just define what authority is. Authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, to influence or command thought, opinion, and behavior. So it's very similar on some level to self-mastery. In fact, you could say, well, how is that different? Well, let's just first of all talk about authority figures. Okay, so who's an authority figure? You can call them out. President. People in office. What? Parents. Teachers. When you're a kid, every adult is an authority, right? Who else is a person of authority? Mayor? Sometimes they look at a minister as a person of authority. Law enforcement. Very good. Yeah. So, spiritual authority. Why I'm talking, or authority figures. The reason why I'm bringing that piece up is that sometimes we can be injured by authority figures, right? Unintentionally, intentionally, we can have wounds from those that are in power positions, people of authority, and we become wounded. There isn't any of us that doesn't have wounds. It's called, do we do the work, interior work, to heal those places where we have been wounded? If not, there's often a likelihood that we will, here's the word, project our experiences, of authority figures onto others, especially if they're in the authority position. I have a little story that back when I was in Cleveland, I was going to a gay bar up in Cleveland, and there, I hadn't been there before, so I kind of had directions and some idea where I was going. But I decided on the way there that I was going to see if I could find my friend Tina, who lived in Cleveland. And so I'm driving in the streets of Cleveland, kind of lost. It's about midnight, and I make a left turn at the light, and there's all of a sudden there's flashing lights behind me, and I pull over. I figure they come after me. They're pulling off behind me. And I'm like, okay. So I'm looking to get my driver's license and such. Man comes up. He's in a brown uniform or black uniform. Doesn't say anything other than, get out of the car. And I said, what did I do? Get out of the car. And I'm like, no, what did I do? I didn't get out of the car. The dark door is open. I'm getting pulled out of the car. And I am freaking out because I have never had that experience. And I'm just like, what's going on? And they have me against the car, putting handcuffs on me, and they're dragging me back to their car, which does not look like a typical cop car either. It just has sirens on the top. Okay, I'm freaking out big time. And in fact, I yelled help, and I'm thinking, if people think they're police and I'm yelling help, this isn't helping, right? And I said to them, as I'm being dragged basically to the car with two of them, are you going to kill me just to get me in your car if we have to, right? I am so freaked out. I'm in my car, in the back of the car, as they threw me in and closed the door, and they're now searching my car. I think they found some diet pills. And maybe a roach, something. I didn't have a lot of anything there. Next thing I know, they've been through my car. They're getting in the car, in the police car, and they're driving me to God knows where. I think I'm going to be dead in a ditch in the morning. When we pulled into a police station, I actually said, thank you, God. I said, I'm so happy to be here. And they're looking at me like, okay. I blew 000 in the breathalyzer test. I still got put in jail. I called my dad, and I'm like, I don't know where I am. I'm in Cleveland someplace. They didn't even tell me what I had been booked for, suspicion of drugs and whatever all. I spent the night in that jail, and then they transported me to another jail. I got an education. I learned a few things, like you can have bad things happen even when you're not doing anything, you know? So we went through this trial. My dad got lawyers. What I learned was that I was pulled over by what is known as the super cops of Cleveland. They were known as Batman and Robin. Okay, I believe I was profiled. I had my cutoff shirt, dyke, you know, some at midnight driving around, disorientated because she doesn't. Anyway. This was a tremendous experience. They did reduce things to basically resisting arrest, or I don't know what it was. They dropped the charges. I had to apologize to them. I'm like, I got a what? I was like, I'm sorry for the whole thing. Just like, I need to get off of this because it's not going anywhere. Now, I had this experience with these outer authority figures. And what I know is that thoughts in mind produce after their own kind. I know that negative experience, traumatic experience, had infected me. I did not want it to create more of that type of experience. So I knew I needed to change something here. And so I consciously started to say, every time I saw a police officer, I said, peace officer, peace officer, peace officer. I continued to see them as peace officers because I did not want to carry that anger and project it onto others or fear because, again, I would actually attract it, right? So I was using my spiritual authority where I had the choice, inner authority, to change my perception. Police officers are my friends. I had that experience. I learned, I was taught by it, from it, I gained from it. I don't want to ever have it again. That's why they're peace officers. I don't see them in any other way, because that's my choice, and it is going to assist me. So spiritual authority is that part of us that is our divine beingness. And I want to come back to, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I'm going to go to the spiritual principles taught by Ellen Debenport. And we have principles, and there's five of them. This is the book that I would say everyone needs to have and read on a regular. This is the easiest read, and they're the five principles, very much easily understood. And principle number one is God, the divine spirit, is all that there is. It's all that it can be. It's the energy that is intangible things, intangible. It is the energy of life in all forms. And because the divine is all there is, that means we are God beings. I am a God being. I am the divine incarnated. So are you. You are God. You are God. You are God. You're a God being. You're a God being. This is not something, this is something that people kind of go, oh, I don't want to claim that. However, Jesus himself, the great way shower, said, know ye not that you are gods? We stay away from it, but it's not that we're higher than anybody else. We're all in the, we are made in the image and likeness. We're not over anybody, we're equal. I'm the divine and so are you, and we mostly don't know that. Ellen Debenport, and I have to share this because she says it so well. And she said, people who insist that humans are divine are often accused of thinking they are God. And the secret is, we are. Just as every tree is God in expression, just as every sunset or newborn child or act of mercy allows us to witness the divine, we too are expressions of God on earth. We are the divine expressing in human form. She says, at first it may sound grandiose to claim it, but properly understood, the... Oh, we have God's calling. I don't know what kind of tune that is, but it's got, you know, got some dance moves with it. Okay. It's good. I just am waiting for play it later for me. Mine is John Lennon's Imagine. So back to, you know what? I have an aunt on here. Isn't that interesting? Automatic negative thoughts. Hi, honey. I'm going to be, yeah. So we are the divine expressing in human form. At first, it may sound grandiose to claim it, but properly understood, the awareness of our own divinity is where we derive our comfort, guidance, and strength for our human experience. We can never be separate from God, and we have to begin to tap into the power that is breathing us. This is what Jesus tried so many times to tell us and show us. Jesus was demonstrating what is possible for human beings when we are fully aligned with the presence of God within us. This is the crux of principle two, that we are expressions of the divine and our essence is God. Jesus was not asking to be worshiped. He was showing us who we are and what we can do. Know you not that you can do more than I can do? It's what his whole talk was, teaching was. As we discover our own Christ I am nature, we come to that part of us that is animating us. And I want to just close with this part. What if it were possible to rise above such human travails and live effortlessly with an attitude of love and compassion for yourself and others, all others? What if you could hold on to thoughts and feelings so positive that only good could be drawn into your life? What if you could clear out the debris of your past and any fears about the future so thoroughly that Spirit could shine from within you and light up the world. That is the point of spiritual growth. It is living from the I Am, the Christ within, making decisions from the higher self, loving with the unconditional and inexhaustible energy of the divine, contributing to the well-being of the planet. It is to express effortlessly who we truly are. Who are you? I recommend that everybody have this book, and your homework this week, one of the things is that you get to read chapter 2. Read it every day. It's not a long read. Thing is, to have spiritual authority in my life, I have to change my inner world. I can say, oh yes, I'm the divine in expression, but have I embodied it? Do I live from that? All our spiritual teachers have embodied it. It's in their blood. So to read this, to understand that I am the divine in expression. See, when I talk to you and you have spiritual counseling or share with me things that are going on in your life, I hear you, but I have another ear and I listen to the divine inside. And what I see is that you're a divine being. You're God in expression. And I'm here to remember that until you get to back to that spot for yourself. How many of you have ever felt like you're not enough in the world? Not good enough, smart enough, talented enough, educated enough. You're not enough. Yeah, isn't that? Yeah, it's very, isn't that interesting? Where did we get that? Because as a divine being, is spirit enough? Can spirit be enough? When we have a full understanding of what God is, we also have pictures of what God is, what has been told to us. One of the things in her book by Ellen Davenport is that our concepts of what the divine is may be outdated, and have we reviewed what that is? To know that I'm a God being, I am empowered. I'm not a victim. I can make changes. So besides reading that chapter and digesting it, how many of you know what 9 times 6 is? 54. My question is, the first time you heard 9 times 6 is 54, did you have it memorized? Anybody? Did you? No. What did you have to do in order to get that embodied? Repetition, 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 repetition. Again, what we are putting in here and repeating over and over is the producing factor. So besides the reading of that book to embody and digest it so that it becomes in your very DNA, because it is who you are. In fact, we're not even learning anything. We're remembering who we are. There isn't really any learning. It's coming back to the truth of our beings. As I am the divine and so are you. The other thing to do is to practice affirmations. Affirmations. I am a divine being and so is everyone else. I am enough. I'm good enough, smart enough. I'm enough. These are words that have power. And when I repeat them with intention and over and over and over, they become my being. I don't even have to do anything. It just starts to outpicture. It's programming the computer, reprogramming the computer, taking out the old computer programs that are running us and consciously inserting affirmations and truth. I am a God being and so are you. As a spiritual authority, I'm going to tell you, you are a God being. I want you to say, I'm a God being. I am the divine in disguise. I own my spiritual identity. I am enough in every realm, regardless of what I think sometimes. You are enough. And so it is.